Hi guys, welcome to Take a Deep Breath. Today's Breathcast podcast is with the legendary Bart Pronk. Bart is the guy that you might have seen in the Wim Hof thumbnail with Joe Rogan. He's the guy in the middle. He's Bart, one of Wim's top breathing instructors. And he was my breathing instructor when I got to go to Poland a couple of years ago and spend a week with Wim and his team. So lovely conversation, just under an hour, I think it was. We talked about all sorts of stuff in there. He's got some good stories about when he was with Joe Rogan, some stuff with Oprah Winfrey in there. But also we talk about breathing, breath work, the history of how he got into all of this sort of stuff as well. So I think if anybody's interested in anything Wim Hof-esque, this is going to be the podcast for you. Just before we get stuck into the old thing, please remember to hit that subscribe button. Smash it, tickle it, whatever you want to do, but please hit back for the YouTube algorithm. That would be fantastic. And if you enjoy the podcast or don't, leave us a comment below. Let us know how you found it. And also, please let us know what else you'd like to see on the channel. But without further ado, I'll get stuck into it now. So over to the podcast. Take care. Thank you. Okay, so good morning, Bart Pronk, and welcome to the Take a Deep Breath podcast. Bart, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm feeling great, and I'm really glad to be in your podcast, man. It's I think it's been 4 years now that we saw each other. So
crazy. For those that don't know, Bart was my Wim Hof instructor when I went to Poland and spent a week with Wim and his team. And Bart and I have shared many things in that week, and we're going to talk a bit about some of that today. But Bart, just to kick things off and give people a bit of a flavour about you, can you just share a bit about who you are, what you do, and just a little bit about your journey, what you've been through over the last few years?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a long story, but I try to keep it short. I'm Bart from the Netherlands, Amsterdam. I live here in the middle of the center. Fantastic spot, by the way. Just become a dad 9 months
Congratulations.
Ago. Congratulations. Thank you. So she's asleep now, so I have to be
a little bit quiet.
She's relaxed. Since I just finished university, I started working, of course, like everyone else. But then your journey starts. Yeah? You have to go into the growing up world, and there's no more party, at least not that much. So I started working, but yeah, since almost a decade or something, I feel locked, trapped in a box. I'm not working from 9 to 5. I couldn't really find it. But you have to earn money. From an early age, I was already reading books about Anthony Robbins and personal development. So I continued that journey. But still, I couldn't really find it. In 2007, I went to Anthony Robbins for 4 days in London. I think you were there as well.
Yeah, 2016, 2017. Yeah.
Yes, it was amazing and really just wow.
Life changing. Yeah.
What's happening here? But it was really a kind of motivational boost. Not more than that for me, because you come home and just daily life kicks in and you just continue. With doing your things. So I switched many jobs constantly. I couldn't really adapt to that system. I had a hard time with that. And I thought maybe I'm just a weird guy. So constantly in my head, there was something I want to become an entrepreneur, to work for my own, to do my own stuff, to have more freedom. And also because of that, I was constantly behind my computer finding stuff and just, what is this? What is that? And suddenly I was on the path of creating funnels. I thought, wow, this is a new way of automation, your businesses. Automate your businesses, and that was quite new then. I was an email marketer,
yes,
profession, and then the automations came in, to make a scalable business. So I thought, hey, maybe this is the way I want to go. Mm. And then suddenly at one of the events I went, I thought it was T. Harv Eckert, The Millionaire Mind. It was $70. And I thought, okay, let's give it a try. And 4 days, it was completely commercial, upselling, all kinds of other courses. Mm. Of course, what do you think with $70?
Yep.
Not much. But one thing what I always had in mind was if I can just learn one thing, then it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's also about the people who are there, you meet over there and need to talk with, and the networking more or less. But there was a guy next to me, and I saw him a few times that 4 days, and then suddenly I was telling him about my ideas, and then he said, oh, I know this guy, Brandon Bashar, and I have a course, I bought a course, and I give you the login credentials. I said, oh wow, you pay maybe €2,000.
Yes.
I said, whoa, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I think this is for you. So I checked it out, and yes, I was like blown away. Like, oh, he was telling about building funnels and creating online courses. And I said, oh, this will be my next thing.
Yes.
So not much later, I went to workshop of Wim,
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine asked to join. And in the beginning, I was like, okay, I knew him from all his records and from his stuff he did before. But not that he had a method. So I thought, should I go? What can I learn from him? And then again, I thought, okay, if there is one thing I can learn from him, then okay, let's go. It was €125. It was a lot of money for me back then. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, yeah, let's give it a try. Yeah, that was the best decision ever, you know. Wim came in the room with a big Native American drum and that.
Brilliant.
I thought he was quite serious, but he was just like, whoa, all over the place.
And, yeah.
Talking about science and changing the world, and I have a mission. And I was like, whoa, who is this guy?
Yes.
So that was already something like, whoa, he triggered me. And also the way he performed, it was like that energy of a kid.
Mm.
Like, wow, this is yes, me, you know?
very playful.
Not like I'm the big guru, but yeah, just very real.
Yeah,
authentic. So that was one. And then of course we did the breathing exercises, and like I feel tingling sensations all over the place, and really went deep inside. And then the ice bath, of course.
Mm.
And so like, whoa, I'm never gonna do this. And I just standing there, still have that feeling every time when I see ice, like, oh
yeah.
Yeah. We know both that the outcomes are really good.
Yes.
But I did it, and really Wim looked me in the eyes and said, Bart, calm down, just you can do it, and just focus on the breathing. And I came out and was like, whoa, this is it, man. This is personal development. This is NLP. This is, this is power. So I went home, started practicing. And of course, also daily life kicks in and it just goes away. And I had a relationship for almost 10 years, and that was the same period that at a certain point we had this conversation like, hey, maybe we should stop. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, that kicked in. It's like, oh, this is not good. I have to do something now. And then I think it was a week later or so, I just quit my job. I thought, okay, this is the moment. I quit my job. I become an entrepreneur. I'm going to do what I want to do. So I did that. I thought, well, also as a signal to her, you know, like, hey, there's some change needed. in this relationship. But then I think 1 month later, she broke up anyway. So then I had no job, no girlfriend anymore, but still a mortgage to pay. So panic was there. And you know how it goes with making decisions. Before you make a decision, you think a million things can happen. Like,
yes.
Maybe I have to live on the streets or something, you know?
Yeah. I thought the same. Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't happen. And good. Then, I still had contact with Enam, his son.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine also initiated just to create an online video course, and he knew that I was also busy with that, so he asked me to set it up. And Wim was like, "Wow, yes, wow, this is amazing." Because in our opinion was like, "Hey, you can just do all those workshops in the Netherlands and just." Back then, it were just small workshops, but it takes a long time before you can just spread it all over the world. So an online video course was the perfect thing. Yeah, hey, and that was my first project.
Wow.
Because this is really the thing I thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes.
So, he said, let's go to Poland. And we went to Poland. And in 1 week, we recorded the whole 10-week course, the classic 10-week course, like we know it now. I was the director and also the participant. And that was also, for me, the first time in Poland. So, completely different than an ice bath. Now, we went into ice-cold rivers. And in week 10, day 5 for us, we climbed the mountain in shorts.
Yeah,
on Mount Snieżka, and that was something that completely changed my life.
Yeah,
because when we were at the top of the mountain, we were standing there, looking all over the mountains, ice mountains, -20 over there, and Wim said, "This year we did Mount Snieżka. Next year we do Kilimanjaro, and the year after we do Mount Everest. Let's grab a beer." So, this guy is completely nuts. Well, take a sip.
we'll probably talk about this in a second, but I remember also climbing Snieżka with you, and you get up to that top bit. I think I've got some footage somewhere, so I'll try and put some of it in. And it's just blue everywhere, and you get to the top and you're in your shorts, you've got no top on, and you think, wow, my body allowed me to do this. It's mental. You can climb a mountain. I think it was -5 or -6 degrees Celsius. And for 3 or 4 hours, we're just walking up that mountain. Incredible. So sorry, So you did Snieżka, and then Wim's talking to you now about Kilimanjaro. So what happened next?
Well, I thought this guy is completely nuts, like I said. But next year, I was standing there on Mount Kilimanjaro in shorts.
Wow.
With a group of 26 other people who had all kinds of diseases, like Lyme disease, Crohn, cancer. You name it, and everyone thought this mission was impossible, especially the experts. And they said, you cannot do this, because normally you climb this mountain in 5 to 7 days, and we climbed it in 48 hours. And our mission was to do it in 3 days, so it was even faster.
Incredible.
In shorts, and we never heard back from the experts, by the way. But he has this power to convince people to really let them believe that what he is capable of doing, that everyone is capable of doing it.
Yeah, I've never met anybody like him. I remember the first day I got to Poland, the first night, we got there very late. The bus picked us up from the airport in Prague, I think. Mm-hmm. And we got there, and Wim wasn't there at the time. So this is late November 2016, you were there. I think you met us. I can't remember if you met us at the airport or you met us at the hotel. And there were 60 of us, so 60 participants. So it was a very small group still, probably bigger than what people were used to in the past, but still very intimate. And then Wim turned up about 10 p.m. and he'd been filming a commercial for a Japanese company.
Yeah.
And he was exhausted, but he came in and he just had this energy, even though he was exhausted. And he's like, "Hi guys, we're going to do some incredible things together over the next few days. I'll see you later." And he just went because he was knackered, but he still made the effort to come and see us. Yeah. And over that week, I've never met anybody that has an intensity, but a playfulness as well. And you're right. He has this ability to make you think that anything's possible. It's like, yeah, we're going to climb that mountain. Yes, we're going to do it in our shorts. You can jump in that cold water. And I'm like, I can jump in that cold water. Yes, I can. Because, you know, he believes in me. So I believe in myself. So, yeah, I got a small percentage of probably what you've experienced with him. Can you tell us a little bit? I don't know if you remember, you told a story once where you picked him up in your car. And I think, or he picked you up maybe. And you had the heaters.
That was when we went to Poland.
Okay.
And I was, of course, the big ice man, you know, picking me up was already a big thing. I was really looking up to him, and he's a special one.
Yeah,
he was picking me up by car, and he just opened the door, and just I stepped in, and he was sitting in the car with a hat on, scarf on, gloves. I don't think he was wearing gloves, but he was a big orange jacket on.
Yeah,
the heating on 4, and Bob Marley on the speakers very loud.
Yeah.
And I was, after 5 minutes, I just asked him, "Wim, it's a little bit hot here. Maybe you can turn it a little bit down." He said, "Oh, don't you like the heat? I do." And I thought, whoa, this is the Iceman. You know? And but it was very funny. And also after Snishka, by the way, we went to the hotel where you also went.
Yes.
And we went to the saunas over there, and he also said, "I still feel cold."
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's a thing, because Wim uses the cold, you know,
yes,
just as a tool, like we also do. And some people just think he's all day long in an ice bath,
mm-hmm,
but he actually also loves the heat.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I find, because I've shared with my friends and with people, you know, I go into frozen lakes now in Poland. My girlfriend's Polish, so we'll go to Poland at Christmas and we'll find a nice frozen lake, and I'll, you know, post some pictures about it. And people also think I love the cold. It's like, no, I don't love the cold. I love the experience. I love the feeling afterwards. And I love all the health benefits that you get and all the mental benefits, but I love being warm. You know, that's the comfort zone, isn't it? So yeah, I think it's an interesting distinguishment that actually we want to push ourselves. It's like being at the gym or being tired, but at the same time, you know, we don't want to be freezing all the time. And when it's cold outside, I'll go and get a coat, and my girlfriend go, "Oh, I thought you're like an Iceman now." I was like, no, I want to be warm, please, if that's all right. But yeah,
I have this all the time, and even my mother constantly said, "Oh, Bart, put your jacket on." It's like, hey, you know what I'm doing, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can be cold, right?
Yes.
And when going into an ice bath, it's an exercise.
Yeah.
It's a focus exercise, and that's what it is.
Yes.
I'm not just sitting here in the street all day long when it's -5. Why?
Yeah. Yeah. We've become too comfortable, haven't we? And that's the problem. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. And the thing I find fantastic about the Wim Hof method and cold exposure is that here I am 4 years later, I've tried many different diets, exercise routines, but I will still go have cold showers. I will still go into an ice bath. I will still do the breathing a couple of times a week, because there's something so powerful about it. It changed my life back then. And just to share a little bit about my story, which I think we spoke about on the phone last week.
Yeah.
Very similar to you, really, but much later. So Wim Hof 2016 opened my mind to the fact that there's so much more out there, the breath, the power of the cold. And then I was in a job, it was okay, but I'd been in the job 15 years. I was like, something more, I want to do my own thing. I really want to go traveling. I never went traveling. It was something that I really wanted to do. Tony Robbins, 2017. That's next week, I went to my boss and said, I'm leaving 15 years. I give you my notice. I give you 6 months notice, but I need to leave. I need to go and travel. And then 2018-19, last year anyway, I traveled. So I traveled around the world, quit my job, very scary, did the breathing every week, you know, carried on, went to some cold places, some hot places. And then the YouTube channel's grown and grown and grown. And now here I am back here doing podcasts with people like you, which is just fantastic. So it's been a real journey. And I put so much of that down to Wim Hof and the experience with you and the team, because for me, I was always very comfortable. And the minute I got this disturb of comfort, everything changed. And I remember the moment it happened. It was the first day of Wim Hof. So first night we got there, went to bed. The next day we did breathing with you in the basement of the hotel. And we had the first experience, just some light breathing. And that was, oh, wow, that's interesting. And then we took all our clothes off, apart from our shorts. And we went and we did press-ups outside and the, you know, the horse stance.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was, oh, my feet are so cold. And we went to a lake and we just put our hand in the ice water. And we just tried the difference between the two hands. I was like, okay, this is weird. The hand that was in the water is now better than the hand that hasn't been. So this is very strange. But that night, the very first night, we went to Wim's house. And our team with you, we went there and he had a couple of saunas and he had an ice bath outside in the dark. And I remember it was really slippy and I was so scared. And I made a note saying, I'm going to be the first one in the ice bath because if I don't go in first, I won't go in. And I've always been scared of the cold. When I was a child, we used to go on holiday to Canary Islands and one of the pools, the swimming pools, was too cold for me. Mm-hmm. And I would jump in and jump back out again. I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So I had this program in my head that I cannot be in the cold. And I went on this Wim Hof thing and I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. So I got into the ice bath and I got in first. And it was one of the scariest things I've done. And I was there for maybe 2 minutes, maximum 2 minutes. And yeah. I was like this. And I think it was, I can't remember the other instructor's name now. I think it might have been the other Bart. And he's like, relax, relax. And I was like, it's easy for you to say because you're not in here. You've got a coat on. And I got out and I went into the sauna. And I think I was in the sauna for 15 minutes. And I was like, I've made a big mistake here. I've spent a lot of money. I shouldn't be here. I can't do this. And I was watching all these other people. They were going into the water, back into the sauna, into the water, back into the sauna. And they were like, oh, I've done it 4 times. I've done it 7 times. And I was like, I've done it 1 time. I can't go back in again. And something in me said, just go and do it 1 more time. And if you don't like it, go home, get the next flight home. And I had this kind of conversation, just do it 1 more time. And I went back in. And I relaxed and something happened where I relaxed and I just adjusted. And it was like being in a normal bath. I was like, of course I'm cold, but the fight or flight is finished. I don't feel scared. And then I went in 3, 4, 5 more times, I think. And that was the moment for me that I think everything changed in my mind because I said, I cannot do this. And it changed to, I can do this. So that's kind of my story. And it's from that night, everything is kind of built from that particular point. And I just have to say a thank you to you and the team because it made a big difference. But could we talk a bit about some of the experiences that you've witnessed with the breathing? And we'll talk maybe a bit about mine in a second that I did with you personally. Mm-hmm. But what sort of things do you see when people are doing the breathing? Can you share a bit about, I think Wim calls it like a toilet. All the stuff comes out.
Yeah, that's what it is. But for everyone, it's different, of course. And it's about opening up. And especially also going inside. And I think the breathing on its own, it's already bringing you somewhere just by doing it. And that's what I think it's already special because some people said, yeah, I did 20 years of meditation and never went so deep before in my whole life. And every time when I just conduct the breathing exercises and just breathe in, let go, breathe in, let go with the music. Sometimes I think, almost every time I think, oh, the people don't like it or they don't go really deep. But then afterwards, people just, when this whole session is finished and then people sitting and telling me the most beautiful stories, like what they have experienced, and all traumas came out and they were crying and sometimes laughing, and they processed things what kind of blocked all for years, and now it finally came out. So that's
yes,
it's a perfect tool just to clean up like what Wim says, going to the toilet.
Going to the toilet, yeah. So we were a group of 20 in your group. Yeah. And we'd had a couple of people that had a real tough time. I think one person's father had passed away, that their friend had you know, committed suicide. And there'd been some, you know, really, really tough times with that group. And we're all there for our own reasons. But I remember we were doing the breathing probably day three, maybe. So we were really getting into it. And you took us through a long session, I think maybe 1 hour, doing the breathing in and out. And we'd do the retention, the hold, and more breathing, and keep going, keep going. We're all lying on the yoga mats, and we're doing this breathing. And I remember maybe about 30 or 40 minutes in, I just started laughing for no reason. And then everybody started laughing. And I was like, oh, this is weird. But I wasn't conscious, got my eyes closed. I wasn't self-conscious, I should say. And then maybe about 45 minutes to 1 hour, somebody started crying in the group.
Yeah.
And then another person. And then I felt tears coming down my eyes. I was like, okay, this is strange. I'm not sad. I'm feeling pretty good, but lots of tears. And we maybe did 1 hour, 15 minutes. I can't remember. But I think by the end of it, the entire group had tears, was crying, and people just let go. And something happened. And I must say, before this and even now to a degree, I'm still very left brain, I'm not religious, maybe atheist, maybe not, I don't know. But you know, very skeptical of stuff. Yeah. And in that week, I experienced things I'd never experienced, with no drugs, no alcohol, just with the breath. And one of them was this, I would call it like a group consciousness that happened there, where this group of 20 strangers, knowing each other for 3 days, had a big cry together, a big laugh together. And at the end, we all kind of hugged each other and we kind of shared something. And I've never experienced anything since then to that power either. And I think maybe, have you seen things like that? Is that quite a regular thing? Does that happen now and again? What do you see that sort of stuff?
What actually always happens, people come from the for the cult. So they think, oh, I'm going to do this experience in the cult and hanging out with Wim and being the tough guy in the mountains and stuff. But at the end, everyone is like blown away by, hey, I didn't see this coming, man.
Yeah.
It's about connection. It's about opening up. It's like, on a spiritual way, it's like amazing what happens there, because people come from all over the world, all different kinds of religions and ages. India, Australia, the Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, you name it. In the beginning, we're all Dutchies, but now the method become a little bit more famous.
Yeah.
But still, then every time you see 60 of this year, 100 strangers coming in, and at the end, they're all friends and family for life. And it's really what I just mentioned in Anthony Robbins. It's more about motivation, and of course, you learn a lot from this guy.
Yes,
this goes a level deeper.
It does.
And what I see every time is that people connect from all over the world, and they go on holiday and just meet this person and this person. Yes. I have, I think, 26 WhatsApp groups, and every day there's still people posting like, oh, I did an ice bath today, or oh, I did that, and how are you? And it's amazing how it connects.
It changes your life, yeah. And I remember meeting people from all different backgrounds, different wealth categories, some very rich people, some people that had used their last bit of money to get there, and everybody in between. And we're all in, it's essentially like a posh hostel. So you're kind of sharing rooms with different people. So you're connecting all the time. You're connecting before the group in the morning, you're having breakfast together, you have lunch together, all of that. So if anybody's on the fence and they're thinking, I don't know if I should do this, or I'm interested, if you can afford to do it, or you can find the money to go and do one of these experiences, and you can get on it, I would absolutely recommend it, because it was a complete game changer for me. And I hope to do it again one day. I absolutely loved it. But I would like to ask you a bit about your experience when you went to see Joe Rogan with Wim Hof. Can you tell us what that was like, going to the studio, seeing it? You can see you in the video. Can you tell us a bit about what that was like?
Yeah, it was quite funny. Yeah, we started with doing a few podcasts with Wim, and also with Tim Ferriss and what was his name? Ben Greenfield and et cetera, et cetera. So that really helped Wim to grow.
Yes.
And then at a certain point, it also Joe Rogan came across. And yeah, most of the time I joined Wim on his travels just to help him with his tickets and just to be his companion during travels. And now we went to Joe Rogan. So first we went to Venice Beach. Amazing, because I was never been in the States before. That was quite funny. We spent the whole day in Venice Beach. He bought a really ugly T-shirt with a wolf on it. I think he still has it, but it was quite ugly. But yeah, it suits him.
Yeah.
And the next day we rented a car with an open roof. That was cool. And we went to Joe Rogan. We couldn't really find it, so it was just completely lost, just checking. My phone was not working for the navigation and stuff. And then finally we found it. I was like, hey, I think it's here. And we came there, but we were a little bit late. And also Joe Rogan was kind of annoyed because he was like, hey, be on time.
Yeah.
I want to start. Come. I was just, hey, I'm bored. And we were like, hey, no, yeah. Okay, yeah, sit down over there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was filmed or whatever. So it just there was a big table over there. And I thought, okay, can I sit here? No. You're sitting there because you cannot be in the footage. Okay. No worries. And I was sitting in the corner, but still, I was later on. I saw in the YouTube that I was they were also filming me.
Yes,
I was really happy that I wasn't doing this with my finger in my
mouth.
It was a good thing. And the conversation took about 3 hours, I think.
Yeah.
Two or 3 hours.
Yes.
And it was quite funny, but I didn't really know that Joe Rogan was so famous. So that was also a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was cool. And,
yeah.
And after that, we went to Laird Hamilton's place, and there's more stories to tell about that. But that was also,
Yeah,
mind-blowing.
Can you tell us a bit about Laird? Because I know Laird is big into breath work, isn't he, as well? So can you tell us a bit about what you or Wim have done with Laird and a bit about him? Because I don't know too much about Laird.
Yeah, so Laird Hamilton is a big wave surfer. And he was doing our 10-week course. So he contacted us as well, like, hey, I'm doing this this stuff. And we didn't know who he really was. He's just a server or whatever. And he invited us to come to Malibu to his place. So we went there and it was a huge house and the big swimming pool. And the next morning, 7 a.m., everyone was awake and I was in the room. And there was so much energy over there. It was like amazing. He invited all friends. Just to do exercises that morning. He does that every day. But then suddenly Tim Ferriss was there.
So wow. Said,
hey, hello. a guy named Orlando Bloom.
Oh, okay.
And more of friends.
Wow.
From Malibu. John McKinley, and he was in the Platoon movie, I think.
Okay.
Rick Rubin, the producer. Some other guys.
Big group of people.
Yeah, and then we started the day with doing breath work. So Wim was doing there his thing, breathing session, and after that we went for an ice bath, and did also the pool training. But that's Laird's thing. So they go into the pool with weights. And then go up to the bottom, jump up, take a breath, and just go down again. And that is his thing. Or walking on the floor of the the pool with weights. And then we went into the sauna. And that was a cool thing because when I was introduced to Orlando, and it was in the morning, so I was a little bit jet lagged. And he introduced himself. He said, hey, I'm Orlando. I said, oh, cool name. I'm Bart. But later, when we're sitting in the sauna, then Laird said, "Hey, this guy next to you, he always blooms out with the breathing exercise." I thought, Orlando blooms out. It's Orlando Bloom. Whoa.
Wow.
But yeah, he was just a normal guy. Like blah, blah, blah. It was a cool guy.
Very cool.
And then after that training, we went for a lunch somewhere and we're sitting there. Have a nice lunch. And then suddenly Wim had the click. He said, "Hey man, hey, you're Legolas from the Lord of the Rings." And he's like this. And there were some girls who just were sitting there in the background and just, oh, Orlando Bloom. And then he thought, "Oh my God, thank you, Wim." "Bart, make a picture.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And
suddenly you're surrounded with,
yes.
Famous people.
Wow.
Ooh. But at the end, they're just humans.
And, yes.
But they're really looking up to Wim. And that was also for Wim was something new.
Yeah, fantastic. And did Orlando and those guys, did they do the breathing as well?
Yeah, they loved it. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Brilliant.
And then later, the story continues. We were invited to have a dinner with someone. And she said, yeah, I have this dinner tonight. Do you want to come? Oprah is coming. Do you mind?
Whoa.
And then we said, let me think about it. But we just went there, a huge house. And we did the breathing over there with Oprah Winfrey laying next to me and Barbara Streisand at the other side.
Wow.
Orlando Bloom was there. And Tom Hanks was there.
Wow.
And it continued. We were just... if you were in a movie, I was just completely starstruck. I couldn't say anything, you know.
Yeah.
It was like,
wow,
what can I say to these persons? And then suddenly, the youngest kid of Laird Hamilton went to Oprah and said, "Oprah, what's your favorite color?" And I thought, hey man, that's a brilliant question. But I was already sitting, it was during dinner, I was sitting next to her. I couldn't say anything.
I just,
what can I ask her?
Yeah.
And that one question of that little girl was so amazing. Aww. Like, hey, what's your favorite color?
Yeah, simple curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah.
You remind me actually, again, going back to Poland.
Yeah.
I think people probably don't realize how accessible Wim is in those situations.
Yeah.
So you have breakfast or dinner, and Wim is sitting next to you. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I had breakfast with him on day three, I think. He's just sitting there, you know, 60 people, couple of long tables. He just sits down. "Hey, man, how's it going?" "Yeah, good mm-hmm. morning." And people were very nervous to talk to him. And he's just so chill, and his dog's there. And so I just had a conversation with him on day two or day three for like 20 minutes. I was like, I can't believe that I can just talk to this guy.
Yeah.
And then that was what the whole week was like. You just see him, good morning, how's it going? And it's just, again, just a normal person that you have these fantastic conversations
with. It's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
And he's not looking because we were with all kinds of stars. And of course, does something with you. But Wim was like, just Wim, like he is to you. He's to... to Oprah Winfrey and to Laird Hamilton as well. He's not like, hey, you're a big star. And he treats everyone the same. And that's the funny thing, like what you said, people expect like, oh, he's the big guru. But when you see him, he's just making bad dad jokes. And,
on the guitar, playing the guitar, singing at 11 o'clock at night, and trying to go to sleep.
And also after all those years, because when we just started, there was nothing, you know?
Yeah.
If you just, he was living in a tiny house.
Yeah.
And he people didn't recognize him on the street. And now a lot of people recognize him on the street. But he's still the same. He didn't change. No.
Oh, that's good to hear. That's fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
But to ask you some questions then about you. So what do you do now? So are you a Wim Hof instructor still? Do you still do courses and classes?
Yeah.
Or have you taken a bit of a step back now, being a parent? What's going on with you these days?
Now I'm still an instructor.
Yeah.
So in 2015, I also decided, because I was constantly assisting women in Poland, and I always felt like the Karate Kid, you know, from the movie, and to learn from Mr. Miyagi. And at a certain point, I thought, hey, I want to do this as well, man. This is fantastic. Yeah. So after years of learning and just only doing the music for Wim's breathing sessions, mm-hmm. and helping the people there to have a great time, I also decided to become an instructor. And so I'm now also doing my own workshops and travels. And I also became a teach the teacher. So now I'm teaching the new instructors. So
yeah.
People want to become an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's fantastic.
Fantastic. One question that my audience asks a lot is they say they do the Wim Hof breathing. But what they notice is that their retention times, they start to shrink. Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice on what they can do to keep those retention times longer?
Yeah. Well, number uno, don't focus too much on the retention times. What happens, and especially in the beginning, people get all those sensations, tingling, and maybe see colors or whatever, because they're in the moment and it's completely new for them, and the body adapts as well. So when you time it in the beginning, it's cool to track, you know, to see your baseline and just see progress. And but at a certain point, when you too busy with tracking your retention times and to reach a kind of a level or whatever, hey, then your mind get distracted and you go out. So to say one of Wim's phrases is like, feeling is understanding. It is like that. So trying to go as deep as possible by your own pace, by your doing X amount of your breathing. When you feel you have to go into the retention time, you go and just let it go. And when you come out, hey, then you start all over again. You did just four rounds. When you're constantly on your phone, or then you're every time you're out.
Yes. Okay. That's great.
You cannot go in.
Mm.
Because I'm practicing it now for 9 years. I would have retention times of an hour. It doesn't make sense. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it can go up and down. It's also depending on your state. When you just have a hangover or didn't sleep well that week, then also your retention time go down. But the advice is, don't focus too much on the retention times.
Fantastic. I think that's fantastic advice, because people do get hung up, and it's almost, for some people, I think it's almost like a macho. Look, I've got such a long retention time.
Yeah, you see it in the Facebook groups all the time. They're making screenshots. Oh, I hit 4 minutes.
Yes. Okay, that's good. Wow. I've also found with me personally not to eat too close to the breathing, because I think if your body's digesting, your body's using energy and oxygen to digest.
Yeah, best way is to do it on an empty stomach.
Empty stomach, and also, I think you just said about state. If I'm a bit stressed or anxious and I do the breathing will help calm me down. But at the same time, because I'm in an anxious state, I find my retention's not as good. Whereas if I'm relaxed, I feel that I can go longer as well. I just feel more peaceful. But the minute I start to think about it too much, I think, oh, I should breathe now, which is okay. But I just thought they've worked well for me. Okay.
Don't think too much. Mm. And exactly what you're saying. Yeah. One day is different than the other one.
Yeah. What do you do? What's your routines these days? What do you do over, not maybe not on a daily basis, but weekly or monthly? Do you do the breathing still? Do you do cold? Yeah. What do you do?
Well, there were some times when I just didn't do the breathing too much.
Same. Yeah.
But now the last 3 or 4 months, quite steady. Every morning, start doing my breathing. Then I combine it with push-ups. So I'm trying to do 100 at least.
100 with no breath?
In 25.
Okay. Yes. 25. Yeah. I was going to say, wow.
Yeah. Or 40, 30, 30.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Take the warm shower, nice warm shower, and then finish it with a nice ice shower, cold shower.
Oh, that's interesting, because I do it the other way. I start cold and then I relax and I think, okay, now I earn my warm shower. But that's interesting. Oh, you do
cool.
The opposite.
Yeah, you can play around with it. You can play around with it. It's a good one. You can also switch it between warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold. It's like what we did in Poland with the ice sauna. It's also nice to open up. So that's the main routine. And then I start doing kettlebell exercise for half an hour or something, using the Tabata. You know that?
No. Tabata. No.
Tabata is a kind of a training style. You do 20 seconds of exercise and then 20 seconds of exercise and 10 seconds rest, and you do 8 rounds.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Quite intense. Mm. Quite intense. So that's. Yeah, what is it in total? 8, so 160, this is 2 minutes something. Mm-hmm. But then you, when you do it with, combine it with push-ups or whatever exercise you do squats, you feel it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the day, what I learned from this guy, Ross Edgley, I also met him with, he was training with Wim. But what I think the interesting thing, what he was saying is like, you have 16 hours a day. So, you can just, for example, I do every day 200 push-ups. So I start with 100 and the rest of the day, I just also do 100. But I just, when I make coffee, I do 20. When I just have to wait for something, then I do 20. And then at the end of the day, I have 200. So it's just, just like you said, yeah, you can do 1,000 push-ups if you want. If you just do every hour, you do 40 or 60, then you make it. So that's nice thing to think about, you know. You can go to the gym for 1 hour and just do stuff. But yeah, you can also spread it.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Ooh, well, I do like that. I need to think about a new routine for me. So I'm gonna look into that, because with lockdown, I've been terrible. Before lockdown, I did jiu-jitsu twice a week, gym 3-4 times a week. Lockdown now, I'm not doing too much. So I need to find some new ways to work. So I have a kettlebell. So I will
Into that. And I walk a lot. So just during Corona time, the streets were empty in Amsterdam. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I walk at least 2 hours a day, 1.5, 2 hours with my baby or alone.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
We're nearly at the end now. So just a couple of last bits. What advice would you give to people that want to improve their lives, improve their health? What bit of advice would you give them? Would it be the breathing? Would it be the exercise? What would you say to somebody on the street if they said, Bart, tell me what I can do to make myself better as a person?
Yeah. Now, I believe that building good habits is one of them. So like what we do, for example, start with breath work, just to give your immune system a boost. I think that's an amazing thing to have have more power inside of yourself. That's the start. Playing with temperatures, so cold showers, but also saunas, go outside into nature, and just be more aware of the people around you, that connection, because life is very short. It's a cliche, but it is so. Just go to the people where you get the most energy from, and get away from the people who suck your energy. And I think that is it. Just keep it simple and have good sleep, good food, and enjoy life the fullest every day. You know, look outside and. During Corona time, you notice probably, you cannot hug people all the time and have close contact with them. And then, you really miss it.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, this is not natural.
Yeah.
So just keep it simple and,
Beautiful. Thank you. I love that. So keep it simple. Enjoy life. Have the cold and hot showers. Do some breathing. Eat some good food. Be social. Yeah. Just
stay
enjoy
active.
Yourself.
Stay active.
Yeah, go
be
for
present.
A walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep it simple.
Well, there's so many people nowadays talking about biohacking and stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, you have to keep it simple.
Yeah.
When I just had a conversation with a friend about a weight fast.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just looking on the internet like, what kind? And, oh, this is 10 kilos, this is 20 kilos. And, oh, this brand and this price. And then I think back, what would Wim do? And I think he was just grabbing a backpack and just do some stones in it and just go.
That's it, simple.
And I'm looking for 4 nights, you know, what to buy. And he just goes, bam, do it.
Yeah.
So just don't make it too complicated.
Yeah. Be playful, be simple. I love that.
Yeah.
If people want to find you, can they go to your course? Whether they go to the Inner Fire website? What
can
they do?
They can find me on the Wim Hof Method .com. Mm-hmm. You just have to look for my activities. There are not so many now at the moment, but and I have my own website, bartpronk.com. And you can find me on Instagram. That's B4. RTOS, so Bartos with a 4 in between. And you can find me on Facebook, of course. Just look at Bart Pronk and you'll find me.
Fantastic. I'll put the links in the descriptions below, guys. I just want to say a big thank you to Bart. Bart, you've been a big part of my life. You're a big part of my change, my ongoing change with regards to health and optimization and just being open to things that are out there in the world and the universe and all that good stuff. So big, big thank you to you. I hope we get to do another one of these again in the future. And I really want to, at some point, thank you. I really want us to go and have an ice bath together, because when I was doing it in Poland before, I didn't get there. I was getting there, but I was still so scared. And on the last day, you were like, right, guys, you're free to go and do your own ice bath. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Now I feel like I'm a bit more not advanced, but I can do more. So I'd love to go into the cold. I love Poland. I love Śnieżka. I want to go back there one day. So anyway, thank you so much. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please hit that subscribe button. Please leave a little comment. Let me know who else you'd like to see on the podcast as we go forward. If you can support us on Patreon, please drop a couple of books that way. That'd be much appreciated. More of these are on the way. So keep coming back and we'll share those. And Bart, once again, thank you so much for your time. And everybody, have a fantastic day. Take care.
Yes.
Yes.